Lama chesed of the bottom. Oh my rova, oh my rova. Hilchos gevirta, ikal mash lemihaga de halila. Hilchos gevirta, said Rashi. Halachas gedolos, great, great halachas. Not good. This is not good. Not good. Not good. Great. Not good. Great. Halachas igla mashva. There is to draw out from the minhagim of halila, minhagim of halal. Rashi basically says that originally halal was instituted in a very specific fashion, and because it used to be they didn't have printing presses, people were also additionally were not so well educated, that the original minhagim of halal, it was instituted in a certain way, where you'd have one person that was basically saying halal for everybody else. Which is a little strange, you have to admit. Do you have to admit? Yes. You have to admit. Because halal, obviously, is something that comes from the heart. It's something that people are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how could it be that one person is going to say halal for somebody else? Did you ever notice modim in Shemon Esrei? What do you do when the chazan says modim? You say your own. Why? What's wrong with the chazan saying modim for you? So some say, especially Chassidish Erebis, there's no such thing as someone else having hakara satov for you. Right? You hear the word? You can't have somebody else thank someone for you. If you're giving hakara satov and you're saying, I recognize all the things you did for me, you have to do it yourself. There's no such thing as al yedei shaliach. Right? You hear the word, right? It's a good word. Halal's the same thing. You can't say halal through somebody else. Can you? That doesn't make any sense. You praise God, I'll just listen. That'll go over well. Try this. Next time you want to send your mother a Mother's Day card, you get married, you send your wife a present. Don't give it yourself. Have somebody else give it. That shows the love. You know? So, the original minhagim halal. Yeah, the mailman. We'll leave mailman out of the story. The original minhagim halal are a little bit curious, but there is a balance of how to try and create a scenario where people are not going to be able to do it themselves and somehow be saying it themselves. So here, how you got to strike a challenging balance there. Not everyone can read. Not everyone has a copy and can read even if they could read. They can't read it anyway. There's no printing press, etc., etc. So how do you do it? But from the minhagim that existed, at least in the times of the Gemara, we can deduce the original takana of halal, what originally was like. So it's a funny Gemara, right? A very funny Gemara. You have to wonder, what is the goal of this Gemara? You're trying to discover what the original takanas of halal were? So it's like a history lesson? So whoever can come up with a good answer to that definitely gets extra credit. Like, what at the end of the... We're going to go through the Gemara, just understand what the Gemara is saying. But what's the point? Like, why do we care what the original takanas of halal were? Does this bother you? It should. Anyway. Who oimer halleluka? Who's who? Hey, man. Anyway, the leader, the Shaliach Tzibur, he says, Halleluka, V'hein Oimrim, Halleluka. Anybody know what that means? So, in reality, so what would that mean? So Chazan gets up. How's it go? Nope, that's not what anybody does, right? How do we start? So there's a bracha. Minigoylam, right? The chazan makes a bracha, as Ashkenazim anyway. And then we all make the bracha after him, right? And then what does he say? Well, he already started. Right? He already started. He already started Halukah. So, well, you know, we're not going to wait. So we start too. Halukah, because that's the first word of Hallel. Hallel the Hashem. Says the Gemara that the minig at the time of the Gemara was that the Chazan, well, we're not really told what happens with the bracha. You see this little tiny Tosfos, who are Halukah? Little tiny Tosfos, right? Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur says Halukah. Vat Tzibur oinen acharav Halukah. And then the Tzibur answers after him. So in other words, the Chazan says the first word, Halukah. And he pauses. And the whole Tzibur says, Halukah. And then everybody continues on their own, I guess, right? So Tosfos is bothered by, how do we do that? Shliach Tzibur bat Tzibur nachar Halukah b'hu shoyseik. The Shliach Tzibur keeps quiet, Achianu, until the Tzibur answers him. And now the Gemara doesn't explain, well, how does the bracha fit into all of that? Because the Tzibur also has to make a bracha. So he's just wondering, like, how does this go? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Well, when did they make the bracha? So apparently, the Mistama, the Chazan made the bracha. He takes a pause before he says Hallelujah. And then we make the bracha. And then we pause for him to say Hallelujah. And then he pauses, and we say Hallelujah. Isn't that like a hefsek? So he says, Hashem akulim mevarchin yachad, maybe they all make the bracha at the same time. So instead of listening to the Chazan and saying Amen, and saying your own bracha, maybe you say the bracha word for word with the Chazan. And then you're stuck, because definitely there has to be a pause, where the Shalik Tzibur has to say Hallelujah and stop. And wait for them, for the Tzibur to say Hallelujah. So maybe that pause at least is a hefsek. Maybe. So he says, nah, ain't lachush b'chach. We're not concerned. He already said the bracha. Right after he made the bracha, he started halal with the word Hallelujah. And he takes a brief pause for everyone to answer after him. We don't consider that to be a hefsek. And what about the Tzibur? They're saying the bracha and they're waiting for the chazan for a moment before they say Hallelujah. So maybe that should be a hefsek between a bracha in the beginning of halal. Tosfos is not concerned for that. He thinks that that's just, you know, the way that we say halal, that's okay. So he doesn't really deal with it any more than that. But apparently that slight pause, he does not concern him. Okay. What do you see from this minig? Mikansha mitzvah la'ana is Hallelujah. Apparently there's a mitzvah that when the chazan says Hallelujah, we're supposed to say Hallelujah. And really, as Rashi said before, it sounds like the original minig was that the chazan would say the entire halal. And after every phrase, everyone would scream out Hallelujah. Crazy, right? Can you imagine what shul would be like? Go back into shul, you know, you're not really saying halal by yourself, you're just listening to the chazan. And he says, Hallelujah! Everyone says, Hallelujah! 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 And that's how halal would go. We wouldn't recognize it as one of them. But that apparently is original minig. That's what it means, that we only mimic the first one. Yeah? So we still do the first, we don't. The minig olam b'zmanah says not to do this. Doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, nothing. But in times of the Gemara, that was still the minig, and that was reminiscent of the original minig, which was that Hallelujah was said after each and every phrase in Hallel. Unbelievable. Okay? Sounds exciting at least, right?
That's not crazy. It's like everyone's saying Amen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's just, you know, when we say Amen, we also have to keep it in mind. You know, we're saying Amen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a tefillah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a prayer. You know, Chazal say the greater is a person says Amen for the person that makes the bracha. Greater is the one who answers Amen than the person that makes the bracha. Rabbeinu B'chai, he says, you know why? Because we have a concept of an Eid Echad. What's an Eid Echad? One witness who saw something. What happens if one witness testifies in Besdin? Nothing. Sometimes he can be mechayev a shvua, but other than that, it's not legitimate testimony. But if you have two Adim, you can kill a person. So what happens if one person says a bracha? He's an Adim to something about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And if somebody says Amen, now you have two Adim. You have two Adim. So that's the advantage of the second person says Amen, is that you just created an Eidus to whatever the person just said, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu created everything, that Kaddish Baruch Hu, whatever it is, the Amen is an Eidus on whatever was just said. So that's a powerful thing. Anyway, so here we answer, there's Eidus in every line of Hallelujah. Every line of Hallel. Anyway, Hu Omer, Hallel Avdei Hashem. The second phrase, he says Hallel Avdei Hashem. Remember Hallelujah? That was the original meaning, Hallelujah, after every single phrase. Mikan, Shemaya, Gadol, Makar, Yisrael, Anachar, Hallelujah. So that's how we learn that that's the din, is that if you have a gadol, not a katan, or a woman, or a slave, but if you have a gadol, then that's how you're supposed to respond to halal, phrase by phrase, hallelujah. Right, we repeat, hodu l'ashem. That since we don't repeat halukah after every single phrase, additionally, apparently, when someone is reciting halal for you, you're still supposed to repeat after him, not just halukah after every phrase, but when you get to the beginning of a perek, you're supposed to actually say the pasuk that begins the perek, or at least the phrase that begins the perek. Okay, interesting. Itmar nami amar rechon amar rabba barava mitzlanas al sheprakim. We have this also just brought down as a maimra that there's a mitzvah to respond to the first phrase of each and every parak of halal. That we do. We repeat on Hashem Hashiyana after the chazan. So this is to remind us of the halacha that if for an unfortunate reason there's a katan that's saying it for you, so this repetition in halal that we don't just say hallelujah, but we actually repeat word for word what the chazan said, is because there are times when you have to repeat word for word what the chazan said. Like what? When there's a katan that's telling you the words, because you can't be yotze with his. So that's to remind us of that halacha. There are times, like a katan, that you have to repeat every phrase yourself. From here, that if a katan was the one that's calling it out for you, for him, the answer after Masha, that which he says, word for word. So why do we repeat on Hashem Atzlicha? No, halacha, does that teach us to repeat that phrase? Because if the minig where you are, you find yourself, is that they repeat things, so you repeat it. You follow the minig of repetition. Chazan says Baruch Haba, and they don't say Baruch Haba. They don't say Hallelujah. They say B'Shem Hashem. Well, that's unusual. Wait, Maman Roshach, right? Either you're supposed to answer what he said and say Hallelujah, that you like agree with it, you're saying like an Amen, or you need to repeat it. But here, he says Baruch Haba, and everyone else says B'Shem Hashem. Well, but you didn't say Baruch Haba. How can you just say B'Shem Hashem? Mikan L'Shem Ya'ka. From here, you see halacha, that if you listen to what someone else says, it's as if you said it. He, of course, has to be chayav to say it, just like you are. This isn't going to work by a cut. But if it's a gadol, so this, most of the time in halal, we do not do this. We repeat every word, or we're saying hallelujah. But here, we're letting him say half a pasuk for us, and we just say the second half of the pasuk. Very unusual. That teaches you the halacha, that when you hear him say it, it's as if you said it. Of course, this is a famous machlekes in the Rishonim. How far does Shamea Ka'ona go? Is Shamea Ka'ona, you're given credit for saying it? Or it's like you actually said it out loud? You'll say, Rabbi, what's the difference if I get credit on paper or if I actually said it out loud? Is it like a klep? And I get credit for the class, you know? Or I actually get like an A in the class, you know? So, Rashi writes over here, and our Gemara makes this point, that V'chein Yisad of Yudai going, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, that if a person is davening Shmoneh Esrei and they're saying Kiddusha and Shul, what are you supposed to do?
Keep quiet.
Keep quiet. And that's it? No, more. Keep quiet and have Kavana, that when the Chazan repeats the phrase that we say in Kiddusha, Kadosh, 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 Chazan's supposed to repeat it out loud so everyone can hear him. And Baruch and Yimlo, at least Kadosh and Baruch, you keep quiet from your Shmoneh Esrei, you pause your Shmoneh Esrei, and you have in mind to be Yotzei with the Chazan's Kadosh and Baruch. That way you're considered to be answering Kedusha. Some Rishonim said, what? It's a hefsek then if you're answering, you can't answer Kedusha in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. And Rashi Paskins, and this is the way Paskin is Shulchan Aruch, that it's considered as if you said it, but not so much that you said it, that it's considered a hefsek. That's how we pass it. So when you're in Shmoneh Esrei, you know, you should drive, you should down Shmoneh Esrei, you should take your time, you shouldn't be fast, you should think about the words, just have them slowly. So you may sometimes end up that the tzibur already started Kedusha, so you stop where you are, and you listen to the chazan, and if he doesn't say it out loud, it's a problem, because you're supposed to be yotze with him, shomea ka'ona. But that's this principle, Shemei HaKohen. And that's how we pass. Bo minei miru chiyah bar Abba. Which is chiyah bar Rav, right? Abba was Rav.
If the Chazan Meaning when the people said, let's say the people said it, and you have to go out of there, and the chazan says it, but it isn't.
The only thing that's tricky about that is that the person to be motzi you also has to have in mind to be motzi you. So if you want to be yotzi shomoy ka'ona, the person saying it has to have you in mind, and you have to have in mind to be yotzi. So when it's the chazan, we assume that's what he's there for. He's a shleich tzibur. Everything he says is for you. But if it's a random person in shul, it might be a big tzaddik, and it might be thinking about you, but you don't know for sure. So I guess you just can't. Anyway, b'chiyah barav, this is chiyah barav. Remember the little story about Rav and his wife? Remember? She's driving crazy? And make the opposite of what he wanted? And his son caught on and started asking his father for dinner, telling his mother the opposite, and she would make him what he wanted. That was Rav. And that was Chia. It's Chia by Rav. He's called Abba. Rav's name was really Abba. They called him Rav. He's like, you know the Rav? Rav Soloveitcher, the Rav? Abba was Rav. They called him Rav. So, Chia, Rabbi Chia by Abba, they asked him, Shama v'leana, Mo, if a person heard the words of Hallel, but he didn't answer, is he Yotzei? Meaning, do you have to answer Amen to be Yotzei a bracha? Do you have to answer Halleluka in order to be Yotzei Hallel? Amalu, Chakimaya, v'safraya, v'reishayama, v'darshaya, v'chachamim, and the sofrim, meaning the ones who teach children, and the leaders of the nation, and those who give drushas and darshanim, Amru, they all said. Everybody wants to know why he's pointing these out. Why doesn't he just say everybody says? Why is this a halacha? The Aruch HaNer works on this a little bit. Why maybe there's a havamina that each one of these cases might be different. But the Aruch HaNer works on it. But in any case, they all say, Shama Avaleana, if he listened, having in mind to be Yotzei, but he didn't answer Halleluka or Amen or anything, Yotzei is Yotzei. Nidasakanta, Doshamiya Ka'ona. That as long as you listen, you have in mind to be Yotzei, and the person saying it had in mind to be Motziu, then that's all that's necessary. You just have to hear the words. You don't actually have to answer Amen or anything. That's why it works, for example, in Kiddusha, you're not allowed to answer. Itmar Nami, Rishim and Bazim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, oh, the Helika Bar Levi. Bar Levi, you guys remember the story of Bar Levi and the Malach HaMaves? Bar Levi is the one that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Malach HaMavis, it's time to bring Rusha ben Levi to the next world. And then Malach HaMavis said, yeah, I got him. And Hashem said, yeah, I have to do everything he tells you. And then Malach HaMavis said, oh, I hate it when this happens. And he goes to Bar Levi, and Bar Levi is learning, and he can't distract him and whatever. And he finally, after a long time, so he realizes Malach HaMavis is there to take him. And he says, you're scaring me, give me your knife. And the Malach says, and he gives him his knife. He says, I would like to see my place in Gan Eden. It's going to be one of those days. And Malach HaMavis says to take him. He brings him to the wall of Gan Eden, and he says, I can't see, give me a boost. And Malach HaMavis says to give Rabbi Shimon Levi a boost. And Rabbi Shimon Levi jumps over the wall into Gan Eden, and Malach HaMavis says, oh no, you don't. And he grabs him by his frock, because he was wearing a frock. And he's holding him over the wall. And Rishon Levi is like halfway in Gan Eden, and his feet aren't touching the floor. And Malach HaMavis starts pulling him back out. And he says, I promise I'm not leaving. And the Malach HaMavis says, what do I do now? And with his other hand, he pulls out his cell phone. And he has Google. He says, hey Google, maybe he had it. I don't know, Siri. And he says, God,
yes, Malach HaMavis.
What do I do? He said, he's not coming, he promised. I went on. Well, take a look in the history books. Was he ever matir neder? If he was ever matir neder, he'll make him get rid of his promise now. Got it. And they went through the history books. He was never matir neder. So he had to let him go. What can he do? So he says, give me back my knife. I'm not giving you back your knife. He says, you might not need it, but other people do. All right. He gives him back his knife. He lets him go. He falls into Gan Eden. And he meets up with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. He, of course, asks him, are you Bar Levi? And he says, yes, I am. Was a rainbow ever seen during your life? And he says, yes. He says, well, then you're not Bar Levi. And the Gemara says it wasn't true, he lied. No rainbows were seen during the times of Bar Levi either, because a rainbow is a sign that Hashem was going to destroy the world. He can't destroy the world in the times of a tzaddik. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, there was not a rainbow seen in his lifetime. At times, Reuben Levi also was no rainbow scene, but he didn't want to take credit. Anyway, that's Bar Levi. He's also the one, I think about this every Friday night, when we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, Hayoim. Who can finish the pasuk? Hayoim. Hayoim. Hayoim bekolo sishmo. Kabbalah Shabbos? Oi. Hayoim bekolo sishmo.
That doesn't sound familiar.
Oi. Any other sitter here? Sitter, sitter, sitter. Sitter, Harley Menor. Where's the sitter? Is there really? Oh, Kabbalah Shabbos. Let's go to Shabbos start. All right, we won't make you do it. We won't make you do it. So let's see here. Oh, yo, yo. Let's sing. Nekadma, fun of Besaida. We'll come in front of him with Thanksgiving. Zmirois, Nariyala. We'll sing. Sing. Kikel Godol Hashem. Hashem is great, the great God. The King, the Master, all the Lords. He made everything by you. Come. Let's bow down. And bend our knees. We'll bless Lifnei Hashem Aseinu, our Maker. He's our Lord. We are the nation of his shepherding. We're the shepherds of his hand. Today, if we listen to his voice, what does that mean? Today what? Today we're going to do that? So do it. So there's a Gemara, there's a Chazal, quoted a few places. The Gemara says that Rishon ben Levi used to learn with Eliyahu HaNavi. And he asked Eliyahu HaNavi one day, when is Ben David coming? When is Mashiach going to come? And Eliyahu HaNavi said, ask Google. Right, Menachem? And Eliyahu HaNavi said, why don't you ask him? And Rabbi Shimon Levi said, because I don't know where he is. And Eliyahu HaNavi said, I'll tell you where he is. He's on the gateway of Edom. And you'll know which one he is because he's sitting there with all of the wounded people. And they're all bandaged up. And once a day, they got to change their bandages. So everybody else takes off all their bandages and puts them all back on. Except for one. He takes off one at a time in case he has to go right away. That's the Mashiach. Ask him when he's coming. So Rav Shimon Levi went to the gates of Edom. You know where that is? Neither is anybody else. And he asked him, when are you coming? He told him one word. Hayom. Today. Rav Shimon Levi got excited. He went home and he packed his bags. And by the end of the day, Ben David didn't come. The next day, he has his chavrusa with Eliyahu HaNavi. And Rav Shimon Levi says, oi. And Eliyahu HaNavi says, what's wrong? Did you see Mashiach? He says, yeah. Did you ask him when he's coming? He says, yeah. What did he say? He lied. He lied to you? He said, Hayom. That was yesterday. Eliyahu HaNavi says, you didn't understand. Hayom. Im b'koy lo yishma'u. If you listen to my voice. Mashiach is on the doorway of Edom, always waiting to come. Hayom im b'koy lo yishma'u. Today, if you listen to the voice of Hashem. That's Bar Livoy. One of the very few people that didn't die. Got into Gan Eden alive. So what did Rishon and Levi say? I'm Rishon and Buzz and Rishon and Levi. Mishon Bar Kapara. He heard. In the name of Bar Kapara. Minayin Shemaya Ka'ina. How do you know this is true? That if you hear somebody say something, then it's considered like you said it, Ramesh. The pasuk is all messed up in our Gemara. Do you have a fancy Gemara? The pasuk on the side is Kodem Hashem. Hinei mevi roa lamogem hazeh. Vel yoyesho v'kol dibri ha-sev v'shar kora melech Yehuda. Everything that had written here in this book that was read by the melech Yehuda. Okay, step back for a minute. I know Menachem had to learn Tanakh. Well, that's your chance. Learn Tanakh when you learn Gemara, right? That's how you learn Tanakh, by learning Gemara. In the times of Yoshioa Melech, if you remember, so there was the Kohen Gadol and had the Zuchus to discover something that had been hidden away. Previous generations Menashe was a Melech Yisrael, and Menashe did his best to destroy Yiddishkeit and destroy Sefer Torah, and someone hid away the Sefer Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Menashe did a great job of destroying Sefer Torah. It sure seems like Yehoshua Melech had never seen one. And they discovered not just anyone, but the one that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and so they had it opened. And it was opened by the Sefer named Shafan. And Shafan read it to Yehoshua Melech. It was open magically to... What did you think? Yehoshua Melech discovers a Sefer Torah. He hasn't seen one in his whole life. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's. He's a good guy, Yoshio, you know. What's the Sefer Torah open to? What do you think? Where is it rolled to? Something inspirational? Something about Riyas Shema. HaOlam? Shema? It's open to the Tochacha. If you do Avodah Zarah, I'm going to destroy you. And talks about all the diseases and the disasters and all the terrible things going to happen to Klal Yisrael for not keeping the Torah and for turning to Avodah Zarah. What was everybody doing? Avodah Zarah. Yehoshua HaMelech takes it to heart and starts the first Eshet Torah. Starts the first Tshuva movement. And really kemat had Klal Yisrael back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You remember the kina that we say on Tisha B'Av? That was the kina that Yirmiyahu HaMelech wrote when Yoshiyahu was killed, because he thought Klal Yisrael was perfect, and he went to war against Paro Necho, thinking that Klal Yisrael was mamish perfect, and that we're promised that when your mamish is doing the right thing, not only will there not be wars, but no one will pass through your land to fight someone else in a different place. No sword will pass through your land. But he didn't realize that people were doing Avodah Zarah behind the door, behind his back. The imagery is that when the policeman would leave a person's house to see if he had any getchkes, any Avodah Zarahs, so when the doors would close, they would form an Avodah Zarah on the back of the door. The imagery is behind his back, they were doing Avodah Zarah. He thought they were much more righteous than they were. And so Paro Necho's soldiers killed him. He was shot arrow after arrow after arrow. After not listening for Yirmiyahu, he told them, they're not as perfect as you think. Let Paro Necho pass through. And he didn't listen to the Navi, because he was so down like Avzchus Klal Yisrael. And he was killed. But that was the Tshuva movement that he almost succeeded in bringing Mashiach. As Yehoshua HaMelech, Shafan read to him from the Sefer HaTorah of Moshe Rabbeinu that was open to the Teuchacha. And it said, I'm going to bring all these things upon you if you don't do Tshuva. So Yehoshua HaMelech tried to bring Klal Yisrael to that tshuva. So, how do you know Shomeach Ke'oine? Because the Pasuk says that the Melech Yehuda read the Sefer Torah. Fekti Gemara Bechi Yoshiyahu Karan? Did Yoshiyahu read it? Vale Shafan Karan. Shafan, the Sefer, was the one that read it to him. Dichsev, as it says in the Pasuk, it's a little messed up in the Gemara again. V'yagid Shafan ha-Sofer le-Melech le-Mori, told the king, saying, Sefer Nosa and Lichil Giyoh HaKoyen. Lichil Giyoh HaKoyen discovered the Sefer, v'yikreyu Shafan, v'nei ha-Melech, and Shafan read it before the king. Ela mikan l'shoymeya ke'oine. From here, the fact that the Navi says, Yoshio read it, even though it was only read to him, he only heard it. You see from here, shoymeya is considered ke'oine, like a person said it himself. Frek the Gemara Kash, and the Gemara asks, with Dilma Basit, the Kurish Shafan Kurishio. Well, maybe after Shafan read it to Yoshio, read it himself. How do you know not? Rabach Rayakov is the Daitok, that thought should not arise in your mind. Dechsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, when, you know that famous joke that the Gemara makes, Vichy Chulda Neviahi, you think a weasel is a prophet? Because Chulda was the prophet that sat at the southern wall. So she said, Yan Rach Levavcha V'tichanu Lefonai Hashem Shamacha Shemacha V'loi V'korecha, that she says, whole pasuk on the side over here, Yan Rach Levavcha V'tichanu Mipnei Hashem, because you were subservient to Hashem when you listened to what he said to you, Al-Makam Hazeh, V'yeshva V'yoyis Hashem V'liklala V'tikra Es B'kudecha, since you took all of the words of the Tochacha to heart, you ripped your clothes, Mitivka Lefonai, and you cried in front of me, Gamanoichi Shamati Nu Hashem, so, you know, I'm going to have mercy on you. So, wait a minute. What does it say? It says in the Pasuk that, Yan Rach Levavcha V'tichanu Lefonai Hashem Mishamacha. Because you listened, you heard. But you didn't read it yourself. You heard it read by someone else. Mishamacha V'lei Bekaracha.
in your hearing of the Sefer, not in your reading of the Sefer. So that just fleshes out the point that you see from your Shemekon. The Amar Rabba, and Rabba said, Loi Leima Inish Baruch Abba V'Hadar B'Shem Hashem. When a person's saying Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem, right at the end of Hallel, he should not pause or do any kind of hefsek in between the two. You shouldn't say Baruch Abba and then, you know, go to lunch and then say B'Shem Hashem. El Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem B'Hadada. You have to connect them, you have to say them together.
Was there some kind of havamin or the person's going to lunch in the middle? I don't know. But that's the Gemara saying that they have to be connected. Zukt Rashi. Rashi says the rationale is because it looks like a person saying Shamayim Levatala, because if he's just saying B'Shem Hashem, what is that? So you have to make sure that, says Rashi, when you say the name of Hashem, that it's connected to the pasuk Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem, that your coming should be with blessing. Then there is a girsa issue. There are those that say this doesn't belong, so we're going to skip it because it's going to be replaced in the Gemara a little bit later. V'amar Rava also said, seemingly the same comment about another pasuk, Leilema Inish, well, not a pasuk, but a sentence, something we say, Leilema Inish, a person should not say, Yehei Shmei Rabba, V'hadar Mevorach, and only later and afterwards the word Mevorach. Elihei Shmei Rabba, Mevorach Behadadeh. You have to say the whole thing together at once in one phrase. Everyone wants to know why. And you'll notice that Rashi says nothing. So before Rashi said because you don't want to say Shem Shemayim Levatala, but here, if you say Yehei Shmei Rabba, and you pause, and then you say Mevarach, so his great name, blessed, should be blessed. So there's no Shem Shamayim Levatala there. I mean, maybe, but it doesn't make sense, or like, you know, but there's no Shem Shamayim Levatala. So why does Rava care so much about this? So they, the Achronim, try to figure out what's the issue.
If Rashi had an issue with it, what would he have done? He would have commented that basically see previous comment?
We would have expected Rashi to explain it. In other words, Rashi explained the first one that it sounds like you're saying Shem Shamayim Levatala, because you're saying B'Shem Hashem, saying Hashem's name out of context, not connected to name. Like, B'Shem Hashem, what? You're just like saying Hashem's name for no reason. So, okay, good. We understood Rashi explained it. But here Rashi doesn't say a word. What's bothering Rava? What's wrong if you say Yehi Shmei Rabba? That's a good phrase. His great name. His name should be great. You know? Could be. But the problem is, if you're going to say that, where's the Shem Hashem? Where's the Shem Shamayim Levatala here?
But again, it's just another pause, no? I mean,
but what's wrong with it?
It's a different type of pause. But so the Gemara is explaining what's wrong with it, but why does Rashi need to say again?
Gemara never explains. It doesn't explain why, it just says don't do it.
Right.
What's wrong with it?
Well, Rashi explained previously in the other pause.
That there's Shem Hashem. It's like Shem Hashem Levatala. So we would be tempted to say the same thing here. Rava wouldn't have to say the same thing twice. But, okay, let's say he did. But there's no Shem Hashem here. So what's the problem? Shmei means his name, but it's not his name. You're not saying Shem Shemayim Levatala. So says the Marsha, he thinks maybe you are, because Shmei means, of course, in Aramaic, his name, but could also mean Shem, Yud and Hey. No way! Yes, way, way. No, what? I'm your what?
What?
Amalek. Purim, Amalek, Shmei. Why is it that the Gemara is always talking to us wherever we are? We're here, it's almost Erev Purim already. Tainus Esther's on Wednesday, it's Monday, it's already. Wow, the Ruach of Purim is here. What does Shmei have to do with Amalek and Purim? Because it's a Pasuk. The Pasuk in Bishalach says about Amalek. What? Ki Yod, because Hashem's, well, his hand, Amalek's hand, Al Kes Kav. The Pasuk says, because the hand of Amalek is on Chaf Samach. What's Chaf Samach? Kes, that's not a word. But Chaf Samach Aleph is a word, it means Kiseh. So why does the Torah say his hand is on the case when it means the Kiseh? Just say Kiseh. Because his Kiseh, his chair, is incomplete. It's not complete. It's missing something. As long as Amalek is around, Hashem can't be the Melech.
As long as there's a Malek. So his kisei is not, is missing something. Kiyad al case, ka. Because his hand is on the case, the kisei, of ka, yud and hey. That's not Hashem's name. That's half of Hashem's name. Hashem's name is yud and hey and vav and hey. Why does it say only yud and hey? Because his name is incomplete as long as Amalek is around. Ki yod al keis ka milchama laHashem b'Amalek. There's always a war too with Amalek because he prevents Hashem's throne and Hashem's name from being fully expressed. Amalek. Purim. Haman Agagi. Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Which name do we want to be increased and great? Shmei. Shame. Yud and hey. Yishmei Rabbah. That's a reference to Amalek. That Hashem's name is Yud and Hey, should be great. What do you mean great? Should be completed. Should have the Vav and Hey. So says the Marsha, is Hashem's name mentioned in Shmei? Sure is. Yud and Hey is one of Hashem's name. In fact, not allowed to erase that name. Right? It's one of the things not allowed to erase. Shemus. Makes it Shemus. So you see, says the Marsha, maybe you could say Pshat, that Rashi says the Rav was saying, even though it says Shmei, it really means shame, yud, and hey. So you have to connect that to the whole phrase, that Shmei Rabbah Mevorech. Now, even if that's not true, the other way to look at it, I think, is that if you say, hey, Shmei Rabbah, that Hashem's name should be great, you can't say Hashem's name should be great without saying it should be blessed. You must connect bracha to shame Hashem, right? Just like you always talk about HaKadosh. No, we just call him HaKadosh, right? Well, sometimes they like HaKadosh. But you ever notice, everybody always says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, leave out the Baruch Hu. Just say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. You gotta say Baruch afterwards. Yimloich Hashem, Kadosh and Baruch. We never leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kadosh. Because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very Kadosh, but it is not here. And he has to be here. So Yehei Shmei Rabbah has to be Mevorach. So there's also an inin, you can't disconnect the two. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch means to bring him close, to bring him in, to bring him down. Either because it comes from the word Brecha, which means like a spring, and we want the spring to overflow where we are. Or because it comes from Lashon Birkayim, knees. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, bend down into our world. But that's what bracha means. Multiplicity. Bringing more experience of the Kadosh Baruch Hu into the world. Anyway, says the Rebbe, says you can't have Shmei Rabbah without Mevorach. El Yehi Shmei Rabbah, Mevorach B'Hadad. They have to be connected. They have to be together. So either you say that it is the same shot as in Rashi. Rebbe's Chiddush is that even though it doesn't say Shem Hashem's name independently, but it's Shem Yud Kei. So it does Shem Hashem's name. So that's a Chiddush. Rebbe needs to say it so you know it's not Shem Shemayim Levatala. And that would be consistent with Rashi. Or you say, in a Hanami, this is a different idea. This is Rava with a very hashkafic point. Rava is telling us a philosophical point. That you can't speak about a Kaddish Baruch Hu just as his name being great, just like as a Kaddish. It has to also be connected to Bracha. Hashem's name always has to be connected to Bracha in our world. In any case, Amar Le'er Safra, Moshe Shapir Ka'amrit, Moshe! Which is a reference to a person being the God of Lador. I call him Moshe. Okay, interesting idea. Moshe! Shapir Kamrit, is what you said good, is what you said true. Elahasa Mehacha, both over there and over here, meaning both when it comes to Baruch HaBashem Hashem, and when it comes to Yeshme Rabbah, that's what it means, Elahasa Mehacha, the two psukim, the two phrases, the two recitals. Asuke Milsahu are just connecting, it's the finishing of the thing. Belay Slanbo. And there's no concern of separation. No, what does it say?
They say that some explain that this to mean that one is referring to Eretz Yisrael and how they view the interruption of this separation and in Babylonia where they, I guess, had different separate views of constituting the interruption of what we were just saying here.
All right. Clearly, the Pashup Shad is that's what it means. That is, in both cases, because who said anything about Eretz Yisrael here? Like, where did that come from? Okay, so but could be. But to me, it seems like Pashup Shad, if we're just going to Pashup Shad, is that it means the two situations, the two cases. Okay. Ready? Let's finish the Mishnah. Makom shenag lekfol, in a place where the minig is to repeat things, you follow the minig hamakom. When the malachim came to the tent of whose tent did malachim come to? Avram. Why? What did they tell him when they came to his tent? Why did they come to his tent? There were three of them, right? Three different reasons. Yes, the three malachim. Good. So what did he do with them? What did he give them? Food! Did they eat? I guess so. They ate. Did the malachim eat in Avram's tent, Benji?
Say it again.
The malachim came to Avram's tent. Did they eat? Did they eat?
Yes. They had cake, they had milk, and they had...
What snacks? What snacks did Moshe Rabbeinu bring to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights?
He didn't.
Oh, what did you say?
What snacks did Moshe Rabbeinu bring to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights? Man?
Nothing.
I didn't know. Maybe he got a little constipated. He had to take two tablets when he left. Oh, that was a terrible joke. That was a bad one. Erase that one. Strike that one from the record. He ate nothing! When the malachim came to our world, to the tent of Avraham, they ate. When Moshe Rabbeinu was Allah l'moroim to the world of the malachim, finish the sentence, he didn't eat. We have to follow the minig ha-mokim. The minig ha-mokim. If the minig ha-mokim is to repeat things in Hallel, we repeat it. Tana Rebbe. Koyefil ba-devarim. Rebbe said you have to repeat certain things. Rebbe Elazar ben Pratya moisif ba-devarim. Rebbe Pratya, he added on things. What? Repetition we talked about already, so the Gemara doesn't get involved in it. My moisif. What do you mean he added things to Hallel? He added on new repetitions. Rashi in the beginning, we didn't go through it, but if you have time, it's an interesting Rashi. Rashi earlier talks about repeating things. When Rashi's discussing the kfela, the repetitions, Rashi says you'll notice in Hallel, the Hallel itself has a lot of repetition. Have you ever noticed that? Hallel has a lot of repetitions.
Oh, it does. We're at the end.
Take a look in Lamech Chasam and Aleph. Rashi di Ramasu Likfol. Rashi says they repeat Kol Pasuk U Pasuk, that they used to repeat every Pasuk. V'nagu Kain. The reason why the minhag became to repeat a lot of things in Hallel is because there is so much repetition in Hallel. There's Hodu, Techila V'Sof. There's Yom Arnah three times. There is Karasi Ka, Anani, Bamerchav Ka. Hashem's name is repeated again. Hashem Li. Hashem Li, Lo Yira. Hashem Li. Tov Lachasais. Tov Lachasais. Sivavuni. Sivavuni. Tachay Tichisani. Hili Yeshua. Kol Rina of Yeshua. Yeshua Yeshua. Yemin Hashem. Yemin Hashem. Rashi quotes all of that. There's a lot of repetition. There's a lot of repeated phrases in Hallel. Until Aydecha. Kianisani. There's no more repeated phrases there. So that was the Chiddush. What? That's the Chiddush of what we do. That's the whole point. Is that until that point, there's a lot of repetition, so we repeat it, we don't do it anymore. But they used to repeat it phrase by phrase until that point. But from Oyed Chanan, they didn't. They didn't, because that's not repeated in and of itself. But that's what... Rabbi Elazar bar Parita, when he was Moisif, that's what Gemara means. Amar Abaye Moisif likfol mi oidecha lamata. He added on repeating the phrases from oidecha on, which of course is what we do. But he was the one that apparently started that minig. Okay, levarich yevarich. This is going to get a little juicy. You ready for this? This is interesting. When the minig is to make a bracha, you make a bracha. If the minig is not, do make a bracha. You don't make a bracha. Beginning or end? Both? One? You don't make a bracha in the beginning of Hallel? You make a bracha at the end of Hallel? Is there a bracha at the end of Hallel? Is there a bracha at the end of Hallel? Is there? Is there bracha at the end of challah?
No.
Yes? No?
No.
Anyway, no?
There is.
There's a bracha in the beginning and a bracha at the end. So which one is the Gemara referring to, or is it referring to both? The Mishnah. The Mishnah. When it says if the minig is to make a bracha, you make a bracha. If the minig is not, not. Which one is dependent on minhag, though? Is one of them a din and one of them a minig? Amar Abaye, lo yishanu ela le'acharav. What's lo yishanu ela? We only learn, actually, right? Lo yishna, but lo yishanu, lo yishna is there's no difference. Lo yishanu is that we don't learn. Lo yishanu ela means we don't learn except, meaning we're limiting the phrase. The din of the Mishnah, or the concept of the Mishnah, that it's talui b'minhag, it depends on the minhag, is limited to which bracha? The end one. La'acharav. Aval l'fanav, but the first bracha before Hallel, mitzvah levarech. Is mitzvah, this one, mitzvah to say this one, the beginning. How do you know? Dom Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Kol ha-mitzvahs kula, and all of the mitzvahs, all of them. That's not a double phrase, I don't know what is. All of the mitzvahs, all of them. Mevarech aleihen, you make a bracha on them. Oyver l'asiyasan. Which translating means, before you do them. We'll go back to this in a second. Umay mashma dai over lishna k'dumeyu, the Gemara tangentially says, how do you know that means before you say? Maybe it means at the end after you do it or something like that. How do you know that the bracha means that over means a language of akadume, of doing before? Who? The Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, because Nachman Yitzchak said, Dichsiv, as it says in the pasuk, V'yarta achimatz derech akikar. Achimatz ran in the way of the kikar, V'yavor as a kushi, and he passed the kushi. So that's Pashabjat. Pashabjat means as he went in front of him, he passed him. Meaning he went in front of him. Amar Abaye Yomar Mayach, Abaye has another remiss to this idea, to the language. That he went in front of them. If you want, say Mehacha from the following. Again, that the kings went in front of them and Hashem was at the head. So either way, three psukim, they all indicate the same idea over Lasiyasa. Now is when we have to dig a little deeper. Chevra. Apparently there's a minig, Benji, to make a bracha at the end of Hallel. But a mitzvah in the beginning. Why? Why, Benji? Why is there a mitzvah in the beginning and it's a minig at the end? What's the Gemara say? What's the Gemara say?
We care about how we start and how we finish.
Yeah, but what's the Gemara say? Because why? On Rehuda Mar Shmuel, there's a rule. Right. Kol mitzvahs kulan. All the mitzvahs, all of them. All the mitzvahs, all of them. All the mitzvahs, all of them. Mevorech aleihen over la'asiyasan. You make the bracha on them before you do them. So that's a rule. A rule, Benjay. Shlomo. A rule. Yehuda, you got it? Should I go around the room? There are millions of people here today. Hundreds. For all the people listening. Well, it's everybody's name. Over l'asiyasan, there is a mitzvah to make a bracha before you do a what? Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Why?
Why wouldn't
you? Great answer! Great answer! Why not?
No, honestly, what? It makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Let's talk about this. We need to have a therapy session here. Chevra. It's not enough that the Eibishter gave us mitzvahs. You have to make a bracha on a mitzvah. What in the world is a bracha on a mitzvah? What is the concept of making a bracha on a mitzvah, Yehuda? Why would you do that?
Why wouldn't you do that, honestly?
What are you, Jewish?
No,
Honestly, answer questions with questions.
In all honesty, it would make sense more to ask why not to do it than why to do it.
Does anyone agree with you, Huda? That we just do things because why not? Okay, let's start from scratch. God gave you a mitzvah. He says, I want you once a year on Sukkot to shake a lulav and esrog. God, I can't! I can't do it! First, I have to bless you! Gesundheit. Why? Why do you have to bless God before you? He's asking you to do something. The king sends you to do something.
Yehuda, I want you to go over here and go do this for me.
And you go, I don't know, what do you want you to do? You pick something, give me something, give me an example. The king wants you to pick flowers. So you're going to go to pick the flowers, right? So what do the king want you to go pick the flowers? Get moving, hurry up. You don't delay, right? No, no, you get to the flowers in the garden and you say, oh, the glorious, glorious king's asking me to pick these flowers. I'm not doing it yet, mind you, but I'm so excited to follow the king's. I'm going to do what the king wants me to do. You know, the king's in the, he's like dying, you know? He's like, give me the flowers already. Where is that guy? And he's out there in the garden saying, I love the king. Give him the flowers!
Hashem doesn't want us to just shake the lulav and esrog. If that was the case, we wouldn't have the challah. Just wants us. Hashem wants us to enjoy the mitzvah.
I enjoy things much more when I sit there before I do it, saying, "Oh, what?" Why do you enjoy it more? So enjoy mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are given to me to enjoy. Mitzvahs lav lahanay snitnu. All of our shas's mitzvahs are not given for your pleasure.
Right, but it's given for a shem pleasure. So that's why we're taking longer.
So give it them already.
Right, but he wants us to make it like nice. If you're baking something,
it makes the mitzvah nicer when you sing and dance before you do it.
Yes,
why?
It does.
Why?
Because it just does.
No! Wrong answer!
It just does. It's societal.
Why not? Because it does, it just does. Okay. Anybody else up there we can talk to? Okay. Let's make this clear. Why in the world would we ever make a bracha? You're on the tippy toes of saying something, but you're not willing to say it. What Yehuda is obviously saying is that what makes it makes the mitzvah better, because apparently when he says the bracha first, it puts him into a frame of mind. It enhances the performance of the mitzvah. You didn't say that not once. It does something to change the action, because that's what we care about. We don't care about the guy singing and dancing his head off before he does the mitzvah. It's that the bracha apparently does something to enhance the mitzvah. What is that? So if you're going to say, okay, do I have to have kavana when I do a mitzvah?
No.
Do you have to have kavana when you do a mitzvah? So when it happens, lulav and esrog, you're not thinking about this at all. You know? But you just pick it up. Well, that's really technically all you have to do, right? Are you yotzei the mitzvah if you didn't even realize what you were doing? So this is a machlokes. Machlokes in Gemara, and we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Mitzvahs tzriches kavana. Mitzvahs require kavana. That means to say that if you are Yehuda and you are practicing laning parshas ve'eschanan, and you are practicing the laning parshas ve'eschanan one night after you davened Mariv early, and when you said Shema at Mariv, you are not yotzei because it was too early. And now you're just going over the parsha because you're going to lay it on Shabbos. And you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then Yehuda went to bed that night and he forgot to say Kriyat Shema L'Mita. Or he never had in mind he was saying Shema to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. But he said it twice. He said it when he leaned it practicing and he said Kriyat Shema L'Mita. But neither time did he have Kavanah to Yotzei the Mitzvah of Shema. Was he Yotzei Shema for that night? Mitzvahs, tzrichas kavana. But he said it, but he didn't have in mind he's doing a mitzvah. You don't have to have in mind Kabbalah, Sifrei Ari, and Mitzarif, the Oisiyos of Shemayim, V'oret. We'll leave that to Bezalel. All you have to do is just know you're doing a mitzvah. That's the kavana that's necessary to be able to mitzvah. Someone gives you a lulav, and you're like, oh, this is a nice bouquet. That's not good enough. You have to know you're doing a mitzvah, and you're picking it up to be yotzei. The mitzvah. Mitzvah is kavanah. So one simple pshat is that the purpose of a bracha, finish the sentence, Blessed are you, God our Lord, that commanded us, I'm king of the universe, that commanded me to do whatever it is I'm about to do. So what did you just accomplish? Come on, say it. Kavanah. You have kavanah to do a mitzvah, because you just said that you're about to do a mitzvah. That's what you just said. Unless you don't know what you were saying when you made the bracha. Nah! Because you don't know what you're saying. But if you know what you're saying at least, then at least you know you now set up mitzvah sechus kavanah. I have kavanah because I just said I'm about to perform a mitzvah. That is perhaps the most pashut shat why Chazal instituted a bracha on every mitzvah. Yeah?
Why not?
And when is it? After or before?
Before.
After is only a minig. Before, a mitzvah is a din. Why? Well, then this explains it. Because the whole point of it is to put you in the right frame of mind that you can be yotzei the mitzvah. So if you don't make a bracha before you do a mitzvah, you run the risk of not being mekayim the mitzvah. Because mitzvah is srichas kavanah. Pashut shat. Good? That's gishmak, right? That's gishmak. The Rambam, if I was giving like a lumdish, like Rambam shir, you know? The Rav used to say this all the time. There's the funniest language in the Rambam. Not like funny, like ha ha ha, like you start laughing at that. Unless you're like a real halachas Talmudist guy, then this might actually amuse you. But funny in the sense, it's very unusual that when the Rambam discusses ruchos, he says there are different kinds of ruchos. Do you want to take a guess what kinds of ruchos there are? One, we already gave away. Because a mitzvah. What are the other two types of brachos? Who knows?
Someone could pleasure.
What is it?
Someone could pleasure.
Right. What do we call that? Anybody know what that's called in Hebrew? Berachas ha?
No.
Neh.
Neh.
Berachas ha-neh. And there's one more category. Yeah, but see what? Right. Which ends up being defined. The category would be brachos of praise and thanksgiving. Shevach v'hodah. So there are brachas of shevach v'hodah, there are brachas of nehenin, and brachas of mitzvah. So Rambam writes, does mitzvah ask you from the Torah to bench after or before you eat? Why not before? Because it's not an issue of putting yourself in the right frame of mind, right? You're thanking the Kaddish Baruch Hu, right? You with me on this? The Dilraisa bracha is benching. Mechalta, disavata, uverachta. So you, with the idea that's being presented to us, is that after you're satisfied, you have to recognize the Kaddish Baruch Hu that provided you with your satiation. Okay? You have to be fully right. Midrabanan, even a kezayitz. And then he writes, umidibri sofrim, midrabanan. You're supposed to make a bracha on everything you eat. After you eat it? No. Before you eat it. And only afterwards, enjoy it. And even if a person has kavana to eat or to drink a tiniest bit, just a taste, because he's on a diet, still you have to make a bracha and then taste it. So too with smells. Smell is a pleasure. You have to make the bracha before you get the pleasure. If a person benefited and didn't make a bracha, mo'al. What does that mean, mo'al? Mem ayin lamed. What does that mean? It comes from a concept in Korbanos. Me'ilah. What's me'ilah? That when anything is hekdesh, is owned by Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to get any personal benefit from it. Any personal benefit derived, that means if you eat or drink something, or you just use a cup, or whatever it may be, any personal use whatsoever, is me'ila, a terrible, terrible avera. So says the Rambam, that if a person eats without making a bracha, it's me'ila. How can it be me'ila? It doesn't belong to Samikdash. Because the whole world belongs to Kadosh Baruch. The whole world belongs to Kadosh Baruch, and it's his. And he wants you to partake, but he only wants you to partake after you recognize where it comes from. Whole world, remember we discussed this, that by us giving kavod shamayim is how we bring Shechina into the world. Kavod shamayim is really important. And when we give the proper kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing this is his world, then we have permission to take part in it. But not until we recognize him. Similarly, midibrei sofrim, there's a bracha after you eat and after you drink, as long as you drink enough, etc. Fine. So before we go on to the next point, which is what we're talking about today, let's just make one thing clear. The source of brachos in the Torah is after you're satisfied to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Midrabbanan, there's a bracha before you get any pleasure, which is a concept that's not the raisa, but it's drabbanan. That if you're going to get pleasure from Hashem's world, you have to ask His permission. And then it's like redeeming it from hektish. You hear the concept? It's like redeeming it from hektish. It's like removing it from being sanctified and designated to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he allows you to partake. He's giving it to you. So in Lum, this is what you call a matir. That means a matir, when you permit something for yourself. When you do something to allow it to be permitted. You're a farmer. I'm sure you all want to be farmers. Everyone inside sin wants to be a farmer. And you have to grow all your produce, and you want to eat it. But problem is, what do you have to do first? You have to separate trumas and maisers. Are you allowed to eat it before you separate trumas and maisers? So it depends on the scenario. There are a lot of details. If it's still in the field, it's not really piled up properly, it's not ready to go to market yet, you can have snacks still. But once it's ready, and it's produced, and it's gathered, and it's finished, so you're not allowed to eat any of it until you're mafresh trumas and maisers. It's called
Tevel.
Excellent. It's called Tevel. You're not allowed to eat it until you're mafresh trumas and maisers. If you do separate trumas and maisers, then what? You can eat your heart's content. That's called a matir. You are matir. All that produce to be consumed. Then, okay, so that's what the Rambam said, right? That there's bracha d'oraisa. We're not talking about that. We're going to focus on bracha d'rabbanan. There's a bracha before. Now, the Rambam did not yet mention bracha shevach v'hoda, but by the way, those brachas are before or after? Do you make the bracha before you see the lightning or after you see the lightning? Right, because you didn't see it yet, so you can't make a bracha hoping it's going to show up. So all brachos on Shevach v'Hoda obviously are after the experience. They can't be before. Okay. Then the Rambam says something unbelievable. Ready for this? Listen to the Lashon HaRambam. This is what Rav Soloveitchik focused on, and many others as well. Ukishem. Can anybody translate that? Ukishem. Just like. I mean, just like. The way we translate kishem is just like. And just like shemivarechen al hahanaya, they make bracha on physical pleasure. Kach mivarechen al kol mitzvah u mitzvah, so too you make a bracha on each and every mitzvah. V'achar kach, and afterwards, ya'aseh oisa. You do it. Can anybody figure out why is that different than what I just explained about brachas srichas kavana? What seems like the Rambam's trying to say? What's the kishen? Just like before you partake of a pleasure, you have to make a bracha. That's a matir. It allows you to take part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. So too, you have to make a bracha. And only then do the mitzvah over, Rambam doesn't quote the Lashon, but our Gemara said, over la asiyasa. What does it sure sound like the Rambam was trying to say? Amiel, you hear it?
Yeah.
What does it sound like the Rambam was trying to say? Moshe, you want to take a stab at it? Yeah? What's the concept Rambam was trying to say? He did not say. And because you have to have kavanah to do mitzvahs, you have to make a bracha first to put yourself in a frame of mind of kavanah. He didn't say that, right, Jay? He didn't say that. What did he say? That it's parallel. It's similar. It's just like a bracha on what? Pleasure. But that doesn't make any sense, right? Because the whole point of the bracha on the pleasure is, if I don't do it, it's like me'ila, because it belongs to Hashem. I have to be matur it for me. So too, a mitzvah belongs to Hashem, and I don't partake in it. It's me doing it. So what's that I'm trying to say? You know, one time I was with my kids in the summer, and I had heard this, but I never tried it myself. I've heard teachers say that a great lesson for children is to understand that tefillah and the zuchus that we have, that we can just approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with anything we want, whenever we want. Go try doing that by the President of the United States. Go try just calling up and asking him for a favor. So I did. I got the number for the White House. I called up. And I said, can I please speak to the President? And they said, I'm sorry, sir, but this line is only for, you know, making reservations to visit the White House or this kind of thing. Well, can you please give me the number that I can speak directly to the President? You want to try it? It's fun. There's no number like that, sir. If you want, you can make a petition online, and you can, and then or you send the President a letter. He doesn't read all the letters, but there's a chance that maybe he'll read yours. This is what they told me. It's like, you know, that's the chus we have. Tefillah, that we can just approach it and grow whatever we want. It sounds like the Rambam is saying that if you want to do a mitzvah, that's a tremendous zuchus. And you have to be matir, your approach, your rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Recognize what you're about to do. It doesn't sound like a kavanah thing. It sounds like he's saying that mitzvahs also are very special zuchus. They're given over, but you have to be matir, your approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. It's a very fascinating idea. The overlas yasan, says the Rambam, is not to produce your kavana. It's parallel to Birchas Hanen. So I leave it up to you to ponder more, but it's a very striking idea. And today we will finish with this. The Gemara also said that you have to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. Chevra, how do you do the mitzvah of Arba Minim? How do you do it? How do you do it? Shake it? Shake it? No need to shake, right? No shakes? No shivers? Just have to take it. Pick it up. Just have to take it. So, when do you make the bracha? When do all of you make the bracha? After you pick it up. Because you're already yotzei the mitzvah. So we make the bracha before we do the mitzvah. After we did the mitzvah. You with me?
So we make the bracha after we pick it up. As opposed to we...
But we can't. You can't do that because then you messed everything up. The whole point of our Gemara is the bracha is over l'asiyasa. Before you do the mitzvah. How can you make the bracha after you do the mitzvah? You did the mitzvah. You can't make the bracha now. It's a bracha of a tala.
It's like the
Rambam's name. Rambam's name is Imatu. Kuni Rambam, ooh, wow, you better make the bracha before you did the mitzvah.
No, right, so you haven't done anything until you actually say the blessing. And then, once you say bracha, then you do something.
Oh, you're saying because he didn't have kavanah when he picked it up.
You're just holding it.
You didn't have kavanah.
You're just holding it.
Okay, so this Tosfos, you see this Tosfos over here? And Lam Mepesam and Alan? It says, Overlas Yosan. This is about this Tosfos. It's a famous Tosfos. This is the Tosfos from whence, from one of the places, from whence we derive. How do you pick up your esrig? How do you pick up your esrig?
Your hand.
Right, good. Good. Jason, how do you pick up your esrig? Come on. How do you hold the esrig?
With the left hand. Left hand. No, right. When you say the rough.
Are you right or left?
Right.
You ready? Not sure. You got to hold them both hands. Yes, you hold the esrig in your left hand if you're ready. For sure, my hold is different now, okay. But how do you hold the esrig when you pick it up? How? Upside down.
When you make the bracha.
Ooh, okay. So quickly, just to run through the Tosfos. Tosfos asked the question. He says, Overlasiyasa mitam zeh tzarech levarech alu lav kodem sheyit lenu. According to this, you have to make the bracha on love before you take it. Because if it's after you took it, after you picked it up, nafak bay. What's nafik bay? What does nafik mean?
What?
Nafik.
Poke.
Go out. You already went out with it. You already yotzei. As we say in the end of the parak. So you already yotzei. So apparently, you have to make the bracha on your Ezra Kadas and Ravas while they are still not in your hands. Otherwise, you're yotzei after you pick it up. That's Tosis' question. Milum is not a klal. That's not reasonable because there are other sources he says that you're not allowed to make a bracha on something if it's not in your hand. If it's still in its kli, if it's still, you have to be able to just do it right away. So he thinks it's not reasonable to say that you have to, it's sitting there in a box or whatever and it's not in your hands. The same thing when it comes to food, right? If you're going to make hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, you're supposed to have it in your hands when you make the bracha. When you make pori pri hagafen, the kos is in your hands. You're supposed to hold it when you make the bracha. It's not supposed to be sitting down on your plate. You're supposed to be holding the item you're making the bracha on. See, he says, okay, so how do you do this? So he has a few answers here. V'shema mishiyasma litol lulav koidim sheyitol ha'esrig mevarek. Maybe you hold the lulav and you don't pick up the esrig yet until after the bracha. Maybe that's the shot. That's answer one. Answer two. Inami. V'achasha noitol sheneyem. It's after you pick them up, but when you picked up, you flipped upside down one of them. The one that makes the most sense is the lulav. Ever see anybody with their lulav upside down? No. So we do it with the esrog and that's at the minute of Or Esher, maybe, he's not convinced about this one, which is really interesting. Maybe she is coming shalola tseisbo at achar habracha. That when you pick up your arba minim, you have kavana not to be yotze yet. You just want to pick him up to make the bracha. You have negative kavana not to be yotze. The mitzvahs amen tzrichin kavana because don't we hold mitzvahs don't require kavana? That's not how we pass the mishachar. We come up and about karkla nafik, but even if you hold that way. Then everyone will agree that if you have negative kavana, even if you hold mitzvahs do not require kavana, but negative kavana, you're not going to be able to do it. That's true. Then he has one more answer that he basically spends the rest of the Tosfos on, which is something I find very, very fascinating. Sometimes you have a mitzvah that you are done with like that. So I would have thought lulav was a great example. Tzitzis is the opposite. Because the mitzvah is that when you're wearing four-corner garments, you have to have tzitzis on it. So right now, I assume we're all wearing tzitzis, right? So we're mekayim the mitzvah right now, right? The mitzvah right now in tzitzis. Because as long as I'm wearing it, it's a mitzvah to put tzitzis on. So if I didn't make the bracha when I put them on in the morning, can I still make it now? Well, the answer is yeah. Because even though I may have failed to make the bracha when I first was mekayim the mitzvah, but is the mitzvah over? No, it continues.
Does the talis gadol exempt you from making the bracha on?
If you have in mind the talis gadol, yeah. So, an extended mitzvah, you can always make the bracha later, because it's still considered over la'asiyah, because you're still doing the mitzvah. I would have thought that lulav, though, is not like that. Pick it up and done. So if you didn't make the bracha before you picked it up, you're finished. Does it suggest, maybe... Because you're going to shake it, you're still considered to be doing the mitzvah. Here is Kiddush. We would have thought that shaking it is just like extra. You know, it's like another thing. We're shaking away the bad spirits and winds and precipitation, something we discussed. But Tosfos suggests, maybe no. Maybe that's all part of the mitzvah, Metilas Lulav, and it's considered an extension of the mitzvah. So even though you already picked up your esrog in the right direction, and we thought your yotzei, because it has a continuous nature to it, because you're going to continue to shake it, maybe it's like tzitzis, it's a continual mitzvah, and you can make the bracha even after you pick it up. That's a little sketchy, right? That's tricky, because on one hand, you're already yotzei, netilas lulav. On the other hand, you're going to do certain things with it, but that's certainly different than tzitzis. Tzitzis is a continuous mitzvah because you're still doing it. Here by lulav, you did it already, you're just going to do some more things with it. Maybe it's like a I don't want to call it a hidur mitzvah, but you know, it's like a continuation, it's like extra, you know? So that's Tosfos' interesting chiddush. Maybe one could argue, maybe, that you could still make a bracha because you're involved still with a mitzvah. So again, what is Tosfos' question is, over last, well, let's review everything we said, because we're going to finish with this. So the Gemara said that there's a minig to make bracha on Hallel, and therefore you follow the minig amakom. If the minig is to make a bracha, great. If not, then you don't. Says the Gemara, beginning or end. Whereas, don't make a mistake. A bracha before you do a mitzvah is in the beginning. That's required. That's a mitzvah to do. But at the end, that's a minig. And that's what the Mishnah was referring to. Don't make a mistake. Before you do a mitzvah, you have to make a bracha. Why? So the first idea we developed, thank you, Yehuda, was that it's to create kavanah. Because mitzvah speaks kavanah. That's what we've asked it anyway. So to make sure that what you say in the mitzvah, you have to make a bracha before you do it. We saw in the Rambam, famous Lashon HaRambam, kishen. Just like Birkas HaNanin, so the Birkas HaMitzvah makes it sound like you need a matir to approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu and to do a mitzvah. So that would be a different idea. Either way, there is a din d'rabbanan that you have to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. It's referred to as over la'asiyasan, before you do it. Either to be a matir, or to put us in the right frame of mind so we can be for sure we're yotze. But either way, says Tosos, but wait a minute, by lulav, you got a big problem. Because you can't make the bracha when the esrog is still in its box, and it's still, you know, you have to pick it up. You have to be holding it to make the bracha. Just like all day long, you make a bracha when you're holding your roll, when you've got to pick things up to be in your hand to make the bracha. But you're already yotze lulav and esrog that way. You're yotze dalar b'mina. So what's going on? So he says, a few answers. What are his answers? Says number one, maybe you pick up everything but the esrog. Maybe you pick up everything but the esrog. Okay. Or you flip one of them upside down, the minig is the esrog. Or maybe you have kavana not to be yotze when you pick them up. And then finally, maybe you could suggest that it's considered because you're going to do nanu, you're going to be shaking all kinds of things with your lulav afterwards. Maybe it's considered to be a continuous mitzvah, and therefore, since you're going to continue to do things with it to be yotze the mitzvah zorah, then we'll consider that to be one continuous mitzvah, and it's still going to be considered to be over la siyasan as long as you are involved in that. Say one more time.
Why is the minute now being turned upside down?
As not the lulav?